The Bible teaches us that that blood is precious. And one word for precious is costly, expensive, unique, one of a kind. And I'm glad today that the Lord honored us with the blood of the Lamb. For had He not have loved us and been willing to pay such a tremendous price of the shedding of the blood of His Son, we would all still be in our sin. But thank the Lord today that we can be transformed and washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Undeserving, as the song talked about, yes. But thank the Lord that we can be recipients of such great love. I'd like to consider a topic today, perhaps a study as much as a message. But I'd like to think about pillars in the Church of God. Pillars in the Church of God. If we were to look around us here in this chapel today, we'd see over in the northeast and the west side, rather, we'd see some wooden column-like things that go up into the ceiling from the floor. And if I'm not mistaken, behind those, that facade or that decoration of wood there, we would see metal or steel columns or pillars. And they help support and hold up this building. And I'd like to talk about today about pillars in the Church of God. Webster defined a pillar as a supporter, that which sustains or upholds, that on which some superstructure rests. So we see this building in part supported by the pillars, and there's a superstructure, there's a roof, there's a ceiling, there's lights, speaker system, different things that are supported. We call that the superstructure. Another definition from the dictionary is foundation or support. Again, when we think about a pillar, they come in various shapes. They can be square, they can be round, they can be I's, they can be H's, they can be hexagons, they can have decorative adornments on the outside. They can have faces put on them. They can be made out of various materials. They can be wood. They can be stone. They can be concrete. They can be steel. They can be various materials. Just thinking about God's church, and God's people, we're made up of every nation, male and female, old and young. We're made up of many languages, many nationalities from many places. And each one of us have the distinction that if we will allow God to work within us, we too can be a pillar in the Church of God. Well, think about that a little bit and maybe be challenged by that. And to be thankful that God has people that are willing to assume and take on the mantle of responsibility based on a closer and a deeper and a total sold out experience and love of God. And that each one of us be challenged that that would be our desire. That God could count on me. And God could count on you. And when all the smoke and the dust of confusions that arise, and when all the smoke and the excitement of battles have subsided, that you and me would still be there, counted faithful, still standing, still doing our part. In Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus Christ told us that He would build His church and that the gates of hell would not prevail or overcome or have power over His church. I'm thankful this morning for a victorious body of believers, a victorious church, one without spot, wrinkle, one without sin. And Jesus said, I'll build it. And as we go into this, there's some basic things that I think we know and maybe want to reiterate this morning. I believe Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So our little message today is not to give glory or honor to the pillar in the church of God, or the pillars in the church of God, but to exhort us, each one, that we can be, and we should strive for that, but always to give glory and honor and praise to Him who gives us the graces and the one who shed His blood for us. In various places also, the Bible describes this church that Jesus Christ built. He describes it, the Bible does, as a building. He describes it as a temple. And in other places, it's described as a house. The Lord wants you and me to have a vision of God's church. In order to do that, He had to try and explain to you and me the church of God in things that we could understand. We understand a building. We understand a temple. We understand a house. We understand the workings of the body, the eye, the ear, the different components of the body, and how each one has a particular burden, and they don't all have exactly the same operation or the same office. And God has to explain things, maybe even in Revelations, to us in some kind of a terminology that that you and I can grasp the greatness and the grandeur and the complexities and the workings of a mighty God. He spoke to us in parables that we might have a better understanding of Him, of His plan, and what He has for us, the church of God, the people of God. So He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against this church that I build. Over in 1 Timothy, I'm going to just relate to the, mention these scriptures. You can jot them down or even go to them. In 1 Timothy 3 and 15, he talks about how we know how to conduct ourselves in the church of God, which is the house of God. Our body is the temple. So he speaks to us that there is a behavior pattern for the church. The church is not to behave in a way that's disobedient or disrespectful or brings dishonor to the builder. But our life should reflect glory back to the one who built the house. The church of God should be a peaceful habitation, a holy habitation. It should be a place that that reflects Jesus Christ, His character, His teachings, His word. As He is, so are we, the church, the house, the body, supposed to be in this world today we live in. So there's a proper conduct, he said, for the body or the house. Over in Hebrews 10 and 21, he said, we have a high priest that is over the house of God. Not the house to govern the house, not the house to be self-sufficient and self-leading. The house is not to be independent, but we recognize we've had a couple of messages on Christ being our high priest. Well, this house has a high priest. Over in Ephesians 2 and 19, he speaks about a house or a building fitly framed together. He speaks about it being a holy temple and an habitation of God. Those things should excite us, that it's properly built and it is properly put together. And every joint is put there by God. And He supplies according to what He sees the needs to be. And He's able to do that, by the way. And I think pillars in the church of God, men and women that have left all and consecrated and given themselves wholly over to God, have found that He is well able to keep, to erect, sustain, and govern His church. And when the trials of life come, They're not apt to run and go to other sources for help or run under other shelters, but they recognize that our Lord is a high tower, and the righteous can run into it and find safety and be safe there, and there's no hunger or thirsting after other sources of strength. It's a holy temple, he says in that Ephesian letter. Not a promiscuous, carnal, intemperate temple, but a temple that is holy. A temple that is pure. A temple that is clean, undefiled. And the good news of this is that it's a habitation for God. Aren't you glad that God has condescended to you and me to wash us in His blood, first to give us His blood, and then to wash us in the blood, that blood, and then come and take His abode up in us, the church of God. Okay? Over in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, he says again that ye are the temple of God. In 1 Peter 2 and 5, that we are built up a spiritual house. So I'm noting these scriptures to say that God in various terminologies has referred to the body of believers as a house, a temple, as a building. And we know we didn't read that scripture. We alluded to it in Ephesians, I believe, as the body also of Christ. When you begin to think about pillars, you think about Rome, maybe, at least I do. Think about the parts of ancient Rome and maybe old Grecian societies that are still around and ruined. And probably one thing we'd all remember by pictures, or maybe some have been there, we'd remember big columns standing out. And they'd have capstones on them. They'd have various ornamentations on them. They'd have all manner of sizes and shapes, as we said earlier. A pillar has two purposes, at least. Obviously, the one is to bear weight, to support, to hold up. I think God wants us to be able to hold up the doctrines to a lost and a dying world. God wants us to have a stability in us that will support the heat of the day. There's also another reason that we may have to think a little bit about. But sometimes pillars are erected for appearance sake only. They're there for making something more attractive, to make something more stately, more grand. They're there to bear witness to something. There was places that pillars were erected in the Old Testament as a testimony to what God had done for, I believe, Jacob erected one over the grave of his wife. And there was other places where they were set up as a memorial, not to bear any weight as such, but to be seen. And I know we're to be a humble and a righteous people. And we're to be people not seeking glory to ourselves. Yet God not only looks for you and me to be a support to the body, within the body, but He also is expecting us to show forth His praises. And we are to be seen of men. God expects you and me to be a light unto the world. A pillar that can be seen. A pillar that can be distinguished from the confusion that is around, all around mankind. So the Lord wants pillars in the church of God to fulfill the purposes of support, and also that we might reflect the glory of God in the harsh climate we live in the intemperate world we live in a world that is so selfish and angry and full of lust, a world that has given itself more and more to the flesh and the lustfulness of it all, that God could still have you and me, have you considered my servant Job and be able to put my name and your name there. Men that don't faint under the heat. Men that don't wave up the flag of surrender under temptation. Men that are there and when the smoke clears, they're still standing. Women too, who are still standing and faithful to their post of duty. that have not gone off on a tangent or followed after vain ideologies. So the Lord is looking for pillars in His church, men and women that are faithful to their calling, not seeking glory to their self, but seeking glory to God. Over in 1 Kings, we'll read a verse here. 1 Kings, the 7th chapter, and the 21st verse. This is, I believe, Solomon's temple that was being built. 1 Kings 7:21. And he set up the pillars in the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Jachin. And he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. So at the close to and near the completion of the temple, two columns were set up. It seems, as commentary tells us, they were not there primarily for support, although I'm sure they bore some weight of some kind, some structure overhead. But they were there as a testimony. They were there to be seen. They were there to be noticed. They were there to be a testimony. This word Jachin, or Jachin, means he will establish, meaning God will establish her. Jesus said, I will build my church. So this one was a testimony that God can establish. And Boaz means strength. So the message behind those two columns is that God will establish with strength. That's what God wants to do for you and me today. He wants us to be a testimony to the fact that God can change a life and God can keep a life. That the blood of Jesus can make and will make and does make a difference in our life. That we no longer have to be the old man that's tossed about. That we no longer have to be the old woman that is cared about. But every one of us can be a pillar as a testimony to the strength of God and His ability to build His church and keep us in the most severe of the weathers, the sandstorms, the droughts, the floods, the fires, the temptations of the devil, that God has the power to strengthen us and establish us. This morning, we need to get a hold of that vision. We need to get a hold of that message. We need to understand that I don't have to be weak in the faith. I don't have to submit myself to the whims of the flesh. I don't have to submit myself to those things that cry after me, and disappointments and angers and jealousies and all those carnal emotions that afflict us if we're not careful. But we can be established and be seen as a person that has overcome the world by the blood of Jesus Christ, a pillar in the church of God, a testimony, if you will, someone that bears the weight and the responsibility, someone that does not run from a responsibility. I'll say this much about a column. It's what we used to call them when I worked in construction, highway construction. Instead of a pillar, it was called a column. I sure wouldn't want those columns moving around on their own, would you? Those engineers and design engineers that design bridges, they figure in many mathematical equations and weights and bearings and distances and load transfer, etc. They do that with a purpose, and they want that column or they want that pillar right where that plan called for it. And it's not up to the pillar to say, well, I want to move over here because the view is better. If I, down here, I'll be in a marshy place. But if I could be that pillar over there, I could see the rim of the Grand Canyon. I want to move over there. What would it be like? I know it can't be done. Well, they do it in earthquakes, I guess. But if the columns or the pillar said, well, I don't like where I am. You know, a pillar is to be something permanent. It's not meant to be jostled about and moved around. Lord, give us pillars in the church of God. Lord, help me not to be easily moved. Another thing about a pillar. We don't want to overemphasize them. but yet they're highly needed and taught about in the Scriptures. But I want to say this about a pillar. Really and truly, a pillar or a column, it bears weight and it supports things. And it has many, many important, useful jobs. It is a testimony. But really, the column, I keep wanting to call them columns because I did that for 20-something years, but the pillar is actually a load transmission device also. Because everywhere you see a pillar, everywhere you see a column supporting something, it is transmitted the weight and the force down onto the foundation. Thank God that we, who would be a pillar in the church of God, we that would aspire to be all God wants us to be, and to be a light unto the world, and to be a city set on a hill, and to bear the heat of the day, and not give in to the maliciousness of sin that's all around us, that we don't have to depend on our foundation. We don't have to depend on our heritage. We don't have to depend on our intellect. We don't have to depend on our strength of character. But Jesus Christ is the foundation on which we can build a structure, the songwriter said, that'll glorify God. That pillar that we may look at and that we may admire and that we recognize they, he, she is bearing some real heavy loads, and look how gracious and kind and faithful they are in it, they'll always recognize that underneath them are the everlasting arms of God. Underneath them is a foundation settled by Jesus Christ himself. Let's read a few scriptures or at least make a note of them. In Ephesians, the second chapter, and the 20th verse, it speaks about Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And a cornerstone is that stone that you reference off of for elevation, for squareness, for alignment, for stability many times. That cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, is the one everything is referenced back to, if you will. Peter said some of the same things in 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7. 1 Peter 2, 6 and 7. That he said he is the chief cornerstone, and that Jesus Christ is the head of the corner. Paul wrote about the body and Jesus Christ being the head of the body. So these columns that you may see, these people that we understand, and we see what they're doing, may I say, their foundation is Jesus Christ. And all glory and praise and honor go to him. Another thing about pillars, sometimes they're hidden from view. Every structure that's over one story has a pillar. It may be called a beam, it may be called a piling, but everything has a column in it or a pillar in it. And many times they're hidden by walls. Many times they're hidden by a beautiful painting. Many times they're hidden by sheetrock, various things. And to the eye, you'd never know there's something behind that. But may I say, the men who build them, the people who engineer them, know that that sheetrock and that glass will not hold up a thing by itself. It depends upon that unseen element. God is dependent on us, saints, to be pillars in the church of God. God is expecting us to be stable, efficient. God is expecting us to remain true and to remain faithful. Not to be heralded of men. To take our place in the body of Christ and be content there. Whether it may be a burden or a duty that is seen, or one that is hardly ever exposed to those around, they're still pillars in the church of God. Still faithful, still necessary. And Lord, help us to be content at those things that God has called us to do. In 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, 10th and 11th verse, it speaks about no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm reading or alluding to these scriptures so we'll understand that the pillar itself takes its strength and distributes its strength back on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Acts, the 4th chapter, we'll read that. Acts, the 4th chapter. And the 10th verse. Acts 4 and 10 through 13, perhaps. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. The disciples had laid hands and believed someone had been healed. He said, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. So the pillar is not looking for glory. It's not looking for honor to itself. I believe a true pillar in the church of God is a very humble servant, knowing full well it has no grace to give, and he or she has no heaven to take anyone to, and that they themselves are saved by grace, and it's not of themselves. It is a gift of God. And these men here, they quickly gave glory to God. I believe there was a time or two when the disciples would have been worshipped, and they rent their clothes and forbade people from doing that. They recognized that I'm just someone doing my duty, but the glory and the honor and the praise goes to God. Not wanting to say, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm holding up. I am convinced among God's people, there are many, many saints who do many wonderful, faithful, and steadfast things that we don't know about. But God knows it. We want to be careful not to be short-sighted concerning the church of God. God's church is made up of men and women whose sins have been washed away. God's church is made up of people who have dedicated themselves to God. And he puts them in the order or puts them in the body as it pleases him. So, altogether, a pillar, may no one know about it, but God knows. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with God. I was reading that, and it kind of reinforced my idea that God wants his pillars sometimes to be seen. And when he's called on you and he's calling on me, and when you and I stand fast and do our duty, that if he chooses to allow that to be seen, that people would notice why and how they were able to do that because they had been with the Lord. May we so live that people will recognize in us they've been with the Lord. That the graces that are within, the graces that are demonstrated, don't come from self, but they come from the fact that he knows the Lord. He's been or she's been with the Lord. And Peter and John, it was recognized the things that they did. It was recognized their boldness, their confidence, and their strength. But right along with that came the knowledge, wait a minute, these are unlearned men. These are men just like we. You know, they put their sandals on the same way I put my sandals on. Wait a minute. You know, one's got hair and one doesn't have hair on his head, maybe. One's a little old and one's a little wrinkled and one looks rather young. One can run fast and one can't get around too good. What makes them so different? Well, they look pretty ordinary. They like fish and they like bread and, well, I saw him just the other day drinking water. I know he gets thirsty. What makes them so different? What singles them out as a pillar? They've been with the Lord. They have a relationship that will stand. They have been built upon the foundation, Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, please, let's each one of us examine our relationship. What is the foundation of it? We're here today. Praise God for each one of us that are here. But why are we here? Are we here to serve the God of heaven because we have been established on His foundation? Song leaders, teachers, those ones that go out and bear the heat and go out and do those visits. Why do we do it? What's the purpose in doing it? May we look to ourselves and examine ourselves and find the reason why we do it. Is it because we've been with the Lord? You all know a pillar. I'm sure we know many. And every time you'll find them in their life reflecting back to Jesus Christ. But anyway, it was noticed to these men that they had been with the Lord. Jesus said this, that without me, you can do nothing. Let's kind of go another direction here a little bit. Romans, and I believe 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the first chapter 2, but Romans 1 and 7, it uses the phrase, call to be saints. What I would like for us this morning to, in this little study, to look at some of the early history that we have recorded in the book of Acts. And we'll find out some things here, I believe, about what constitutes a pillar in the church of God. Over in Acts, the 6th chapter, and 1 through 3. 6th chapter, 1 through 3. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. God is looking for people full of the Holy Ghost. One of the, or if not the first questions that Paul asked the Ephesian believers, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? If I or you want to be and have a desire to be a pillar in the church of God, if God is able to use us or will be ever able to use us, He's looking for men that has His Spirit. Men that have abandoned the spirit of the flesh and the spirit of the world and have taken and become the habitant, if you will, the habitation, rather, of God's Holy Spirit. He's looking for men that are honest. He's looking for men and women that have wisdom about them. So that's some of the things that God is looking for. Well, if that's what God's looking for, shouldn't I be looking into myself and perhaps you into yourself and to see if I really have the Holy Spirit of God? You know, a lot of times people aspire to things, but they don't want to go to the work it takes to get it or get it done. Maybe somebody would like to be an expert mechanic or a carpenter. Maybe they'd like to be an engineer. But they don't want to go into an apprenticeship. They don't want to go to college. I just want the title. It doesn't work that way, does it? Well, you'd be found out in no time. Someone hand you a hammer and you'd say, what is this? Or you'd say, someone would tell you to go cut that board in half and you'd pick up a screwdriver. Wouldn't take long, would it? God is looking for people who will subject themselves to Him and be full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, and be honest to people. I want us to also look in Acts, the 11th chapter. Oh, and by the way, let's go back to 6th chapter a moment and the 7th verse. When this work was accomplished and these men in this case, took on the responsibility and accepted the charge. The seventh verse. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. When we allow God to set the members in the body as it pleases Him, when we allow God to place us, and we stay true and we stay faithful, when we take the responsibility and don't try to pass it off or excuse it or say, I can't do it, God will honor that. And these men were willing to take on this responsibility, and in the process, God's word was able to increase. The Lord has sent us forth, saints, the church of God, to be a light, to be teachers, to lead men to Jesus Christ. And we don't all have the same calling. And thank God for that. But each one of us need to be established in truth and full of the Holy Ghost so we can effectively bear what God wants us to bear, so that we can effectively hold up that which God is expecting you or me to hold up. There are general things that we all must bear. We all must hold up. But God deals with us specifically and gives us burdens. And it's for you and me right there to be faithful in that post of duty. And the Word of God at that point is able to increase. Maybe through the 24th verse. The tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Again, we find a qualification. He was a good man, a good person, someone that had allowed the Lord to not only save him, but to make him, to complete him. And again, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Did you know a pillar in the church of God can't have a bad reputation? He's not going to be effective. If you or me want to be a pillar and desire to be, we've got to have a name that's clear in our community. We can't have a name that's loaded down with vileness or arguing or sinfulness, because our reputation would precede us. But it was said of Barnabas, he was a good man. And he was effective at what he did. He was a man who was willing to help make peace. Do you remember the dispute, wasn't it, between him and Paul over Mark? And Mark evidently had failed to complete his task. And Paul, at that point, was willing to say, leave him here. Barnabas said, no, there's hope for him. There's still a place for him. He's a good man. He's willing to be patient with Barnabas, with Mark. And you know, it paid off, because a little later on, we read maybe Timothy's letter or one of them there. He said, and bring, Paul wrote this. Now, Paul's the one who said, leave him. Paul said, bring Mark with you also, because he's profitable to me. I want to say to us this morning, based on that, if we feel that we have failed in our effort, in our responsibility of being a pillar in the church of God, may I say to us this morning, there's hope. Mark evidently came short of the expectations they had for him. Not necessarily sin. But he fell short of Paul and probably Barnabas's expectations. But did you know what? The Lord made him a pillar in the church of God. So if you or me, if we've come short, and if we wanted to be, but yet we really succumb to something, may I say, there's great hope in Jesus Christ, because Paul said, he's profitable to me. Thank the Lord for the power of God to remake, and renew, to energize with the Holy Ghost. Let's go on now a little bit. Over in 1 Corinthians, some more of the things that God is looking for. 1 Corinthians 16 and 13. He said, "Watch you, stand fast, quit ye like men, be strong." Did you know when they erect a pillar or a column, it's not just gone out somewhere and looked at and said, well, it'll work. But do you know there's tests placed upon it? There's, if it's a concrete pillar, it'll have reinforcing steel in it. And that reinforcing steel is sampled and sent to a laboratory somewhere. It's put under various kind of tensile strengths and bending strengths. It has to meet certain specifications. The concrete is not something you just mix up in a wheelbarrow, but it is something that's been designed by a laboratory engineer, and then it's tested. And maybe the column itself is cored later and tested. If it's a steel column, it has a certain amount of hardness that's required of it, certain tensile strength, certain thicknesses, and there's all kind of charts to tell you what kind of metal will bear up under what kind of load. It's designed. The Lord wants you and me to be strong, not in our own strength. He wants us to stand fast. He doesn't want us moved about. And you know, our feelings and our emotions, pillars in the church of God has got to recognize, yes, I have emotions, and yes, I have feelings. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to allow them to rule. When I'm hurt, when I'm disappointed, when I don't get my way, when things happen that are an affront to me, when other buildings around me may fall, I am not going to rely on my emotions and my feelings, but I am going to trust in God. I'm going to rely on Him. Too many times, people see things going on around them and they're swayed by it. Folks, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3 and 17, he said, rooted and grounded in love. Did you know if I move off the foundation, I'm going to sink? If that column that you see holding up a bridge out there, if it moved 10 feet over to one side or another and get off of that foundation, you know the bridge would fall down? It's not the vine that we support, but it's the vine that supports us. We've got to be rooted and grounded. I believe Paul said in Acts, he said, "Wherefore, none of these things move me." Did they try? I believe they did. Did things come against Paul that he didn't like? I'm sure they did. Did people always treat Paul properly? I'm sure they didn't. Did people have it in for Paul? Yes. Did Paul know what hunger was? Most likely he did. Did he know what shipwreck is? Yes. Had he ever been beaten unjustly? Yes. But he said, none of these things move me. I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he's able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day. I believe the pillar in the church of God is a person who understands the source of their strength and will not be moved away with that. Have faith in the providence of God. Have faith in the justice of God. Have faith in the plan of God and not be moved away because of winds and noise and false expectations, glib tongues, all the things that come against us as saints of God. In Colossians 1, 22 and 23, Colossians 1, 22 and 23, he speaks about that the pillar in the church of God is someone who continues in the faith and settled and not moved away. Lord, help us. You know, who do we admire in God's church? Well, I know that's an open-ended question, and there's many things. Appreciate maybe would be a better word. But it's that person that's the same yesterday, today, and may we borrow the phrase, forever. Someone that has been with the Lord, and we consistently see the Lord ruling in their life. They have their upheavals. Did you know sometimes on a bridge, there's more traffic than other times? Did you know sometimes on a bridge there's a lot of snow that falls on it? Did you know on a bridge there's different kind of weights that are transferred on it? Thank God that those columns stay there, or those pillars stay there. May we today be settled in the Lord. The weights are going to be heavy sometimes, saints. The weights are going to be outstandingly harsh sometimes. And we're not going to understand the weight. We're not going to understand the reason or the purpose of it always. We've got to have faith, grounded in this faith, grounded in the love of God, grounded in a purpose to serve Him, and not moved away because the weight got a little heavier than I thought it ought to. We're here to serve God. We're here to bring glory to God. We're not going to pack up and leave. We're not going to take our suitcase and pack it up and say, well, I don't want any more things to do with God. He failed. No, it's men and women who stay true through the heat of the day, through the furnace of affliction. The Lord is looking for such, and He wants us. Over in 2 Timothy, we'll read this. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. 2 Timothy 2 and 2. And the things that thou hast, maybe we'll read through the 6th verse. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Though thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he might please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for the mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. When you begin to think about a pillar in the church of God, you realize it's not happenstance that that person became a pillar. It wasn't through the weakness of the flesh or the glory of one's mind. It wasn't running for the office. It was through a submission and obedience to God and the Lord accepting it and qualifying and establishing that person and furnishing them with the grace, with a deep love for Him, with a deep hope in Him. So we find that God is looking for faithful men. I think it'd do us well this morning to look at ourselves. And I'll look at myself. Have I been faithful? Am I faithful? Do I want to be faithful? Have I took that which was given to me and bore it as from the Lord? Have I sought out others to help? Have I had a desire to be faithful in this little post that God has given me? Said they ought to be able to teach. I don't know what all that means. But I think about we ought to have something to teach. We ought to have some experiences that recount how God strengthened us and enabled us and helped us. And if we've always given in, or if we've always got in our corner and pouted, or if we've always given in to the desire of the flesh, how are we going to be able to teach others how great God really is? How are others going to be able to look on our life and see He has been with the Lord? He drinks water like the rest of us, and He ties His shoes like the rest of us. But look at that person. When sin comes around and when discomforting things happen, look how they shine forth to the glory of God. Folks, we may admire that, but we've got to have something on the inside. Or we're going to revert back to that which we know the best. And He said he or she must be a first partaker of the fruit. Lord, help us. Again, are we willing to bear the reproach of the cross? Are we willing to bear the reproach of being different, set aside, a saint, sacred unto God? Are we willing to bear the reproach that comes with not following after the vainness of this world? If I, you, ever expect to be a pillar in the church of God. Songwriter said we must overcome the world. We must die to fame, to reputation. We've got to take the way that Jesus trod. Did you know what? That's the reason the church of God doesn't have the greatest number of people in the world, isn't it? People are not willing to die out to self. And if I fail, if you are failing today to be a pillar in the church of God, it's because we're not willing to take the reproach and die out to self. May we be challenged by these thoughts this morning. Over in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. I know these are a lot of scriptures. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. This word faithful could touch every part of our life. There are Christians Sunday morning. There are Christians Wednesday night. There are Christians sometimes. God is looking for faithful men. Men that are faithful at work, women that are faithful in their duties as mothers, homemakers. God is looking for people that are faithful in every day of their life, not just Sunday mornings. Men and women that teach their children. Men and women that teach not only by word and the Bible, but by example. Men that and women that are willing to forego things that might bring a worldly advantage, that the kingdom of God might be advanced in their home and in their own life. He said the steward, the one that is given trust of the goods, they've got to be found faithful. Would you want to give the fox the right to guard the hen house? Would you want to give the thief your password on your account on the internet to your checking account? You wouldn't want to do that, would you? I've got a son, I've got two sons, and one day we were there, and they were there, and I have a file in my filing cabinet, now you know where it is, that it's got all my little old passwords typed on it. I said, hey, boys, if anything ever happens to me, well, there's the password. I wouldn't want to give that to a thief, would I? I wouldn't want to give that to someone that's untrustworthy. God is not going to give us that anointing to people He can't count on. But God will give that anointing to people He can count on. And you know what? We will see it in their life. And God will honor them for it. Some words that came to me concerning a pillar. I'd just like to kind of read them off to us. A pillar to me in the church of God. Dependable. Time won't permit, nor would it be good to comment on every one of them. Dependable, honest, courageous, committed, grounded in the Lord, full of the Holy Ghost, dedicated, someone that has a vision, someone that is able to see something greater than themselves and their own needs and their own ideas. Someone that is unselfish. Someone that's not a troublemaker, complainer, a whiner. Someone that is said, not someone that is self-willed. Someone that is temperate in all things. Someone that's not greedy over filthy lucre. Someone that is financially unselfish. Someone that has a love of truth, love for the truth, greater than all the other influences that might try to persuade us. Revelations 12 and 11 talks about those who receive the crown, attain the prize, and they love not their lives unto death. May God help us today to love God absolutely greater than anything else. That's better than ourselves. Help us to love His cause better than our cause. And help us to adopt His cause as our cause. A pillar. You don't get there just by wishing and hoping, and flipping coins and saying, you're it and you're not, you're it and you're not. It's by a dedication and a commitment to God. Kind of want to bring this to a close, and I thank you for your attention. Over in John, the 12th, 21st chapter of John. Jesus was risen, shortly was to go back to heaven to be with the Father, given some instructions to Peter and to the disciples. And I think it fits to me the description of a pillar in the church of God. I hope you sense what I'm trying to say. John 21 and 15 and 16. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus, or he saith unto him, And feed my sheep. He said unto him, Jesus said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Then we know he said that again. Here's the thing I want to bring out concerning the pillar. He told Peter three times, but these two times here, he said, I want you to feed my sheep. To really, I hope we can understand this. The Bible, as we understand it in the New Testament, was handed down to us in Greek. In this two verses we read, the word feed is mentioned twice. The first time it comes from a word, I think I can pronounce it in Greek, boskou or bosko. The second time, I really would do injustice if I tried to pronounce that word, P-O-I-M-A-N-I-N-O. And I'm not going to try to pronounce that. Feed is translated twice now in here from two different words. When he said, feed my sheep the first time, it means from the word, I want you to pasture, pasture. Lead them into green pastures. I want you to feed. I want you to keep. I want you to portray the duty of a Christian teacher. That's what God is asking us to do, to portray the character of Christ and the character of a Christian teacher. To promote in every way the spiritual welfare of the members of the church. I'm talking about a pillar in the church of God. Someone that's interested in the good of the cause at their own expense. Someone who made themselves poor that Christ may become exalted. Someone who has a spiritual interest in the welfare of the members of Christ's body above their own self. A pillar. A humble person that is willing to make a complete sacrifice. That's what it means to feed my sheep. Give of oneself totally. This other word that's translated feed that I won't try to pronounce, it means to shepherd. It means to be a shepherd. It means to tend as a shepherd. But not as a lord, but as a shepherd. And it also means to feed. It means to rule. And it means to govern. But it also means to nourish. Lord, help us who would want to be a pillar in the church of God. To be a leader, and that doesn't mean a ruler in the sense of you do this and you do that. It means an example. Someone that is a pattern of good works. Someone that people can look on and say, there is a pillar in the church of God, and distinguish that from all the other little columns that run around, and say, that person has been with the Lord. Someone that's distinguishable from all the confusion around about us. Someone to cherish and to serve the body. You know people like that, don't you? You know men and women who've done that. To be a pillar in the church of God means that we feed the flock, feed the sheep, that we cherish and we serve the body, and to serve spiritual food for the soul's need. Something to think about. If you know someone that we would say is a pillar in the church of God, we'll also say they've been with the Lord. And what they do is not of themselves. It is of the God of heaven. Let's read, maybe in closing, Revelations 2 and 10. Remember, as a duty to us, to those who would be a pillar in the church of God, we've got to love the body more than we love ourselves. We've got to feed it at our own expense. We've got to turn the other cheek to our own hurt. We've got to bear witness of Jesus, and we've got to suffer His reproach. And we've got to do it gladly. And we've got to be like those men that went on their way rejoicing, that counted it something, that they could be punished, threatened as servants of Jesus Christ. Revelations 2 and 10. Fear none of these things, those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Lord, help us this morning to consider what it means, and I know I've just touched on it, what it means to be a pillar in the church of God. It's recognizable. It's recognizable not to that person's glory, but to the glory of God. It is a person who has committed and submitted their life to God's jurisdiction, who is stable and honest, who has a good report. They're faithful in every obligation to serve God. And no one has to, they don't have to beat or sound a trumpet saying, look at me, I'm a pillar. Did you know what? The Bible said God would reward those who got in their secret chambers and prayed, and those who didn't let the left hand know what the right hand was doing. Did you know Jesus said that God would reward them openly? God will let that person be known that they've been with Jesus. So let's each one of us today think seriously about what it means to be a pillar in the church of God. And I would that we would pray, God, I want to be a pillar. I want to be someone you can count on. I don't want to melt. I don't want to run off. I don't want to hide. I don't want to be disrespectful. But Lord, I want to be an example of the believer. You pray for me.